Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Smoky skies in Spokane and red flag warning for eastern Washington today and tonight. All 5th District congressional candidates except incumbent Michael Baumgartner oppose war with Iran, but have different opinions on the lower Snake River dams. Federal government plans to hand grizzly management over to anti-science states. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Spokane awoke to smoky skies this morning due to fires to the north of the city. The pollutant level in the city was 168 at 8 a.m., which indicated unhealthy air quality. A fire in Bonner's Ferry burned between 75 and 100 acres Wednesday night, prompting level 3 evacuations. There are other fires throughout the region. Hot temperatures and dry conditions with the possibility of lightning strikes has prompted the National Weather Service to issue a red flag warning for much of eastern and central Washington. The red flag warning will be in effect in this area until 11 p.m. tonight. Forecasters say some storms in the eastern Cascades and central Washington could bring hail as well as lightning.
Washington residents will continue to feel the heat as high temperatures and drought conditions are likely to persist into the fall, according to climate and weather experts. The entire state has been under a formal state of emergency because of drought since April, fueling wildfire risk and straining water supplies. As National Integrated Drought Information System Coordinator Jason Gerlich explains, dry conditions since January are only compounding an already devastating snow drought.
The last 5 years have been the warmest on record for every single Pacific Northwest and Missouri River Basin state since tracking began 130 years ago. These are the places that rely on the development of that snowpack for our water supply.
Emergency drought declarations provide state agencies with flexible, short-term tools to manage scarce water supplies, such as emergency water permits and temporary transfers of water rights. But emergency declarations can only do so much. Brad Rippey with the U.S. Department of Agriculture says nationwide, the beef cow inventory has hit its lowest point in 75 years. A direct result of back-to-back droughts that have forced herd liquidations since 2012.
There's just not enough forage, there's not enough hay, not enough feed to go around, and it becomes a very expensive proposition to maintain herds.
State leaders have taken some steps to try and support farmers and ranchers to adapt to drier conditions. The Washington State Department of Ecology is creating a voluntary drought insurance program along the Columbia River, which would allow farmers and ranchers to lease water to prevent shutoffs. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plans to publish a proposed rule change in the Federal Register tomorrow that will turn over management of grizzly bears, which are threatened under the Endangered Species Act, to states. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, Idaho Governor Brad Little, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, and Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon, all Trump Republicans, held a press conference outside of Bozeman, Montana, Tuesday. They praised what they see as the recovery of the species along the Continental Divide, which had a few hundred bears in 1975, and the population is now up to 2,000 bears today in that area. Governor Little wrote in an email to the Idaho Capital Sun, "Idaho has proven we can successfully conserve grizzly bears while responsibly managing wildlife and protecting our communities. This proposal is another important step toward returning wildlife management to the states where decisions are guided by science and those closest to the land." Interior Secretary Burgum said the new rule will not remove grizzly bears from the endangered species list or change the geographic boundaries of the management plan. Republican U.S. Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho said Secretary Burgum's announcement moves us one step closer to allowing Idaho wildlife professionals to manage a recovered grizzly population in a way that protects both the species and Idaho communities. But environmental groups say the states do not have the species' best interest in mind, and they believe state governments will harm the species. Earth Justice Law Firm issued a press release that said the federal government is handing grizzly management to states with extreme anti-science and anti-grizzly attitudes, and they are preparing to take the federal government to court. Earth Justice Law Firm Northern Rockies Office Managing Attorney Jenny Harbin said the proposal defers details about how states would manage grizzly bears to as yet undisclosed memorandums of understanding. The proposal does not identify parameters for management in areas essential for habitat connectivity, and it appears to afford states significant discretion to relocate or kill bears. All of these provisions worsen conditions for grizzly bears that need protections now more than ever. Jake Lee with Defenders of the Wildlife said the proposed 4D rule punts on important details such that the real-world impacts of the proposal are in large part determined by later agreements that will be developed outside the rulemaking process. It also gives the service room to let states maintain management control even if they are not meeting required conditions. Western Watersheds Project Idaho Director Greg LaDon wrote in a statement, "This is a decision being made for political reasons. It is not based on science, in the best interest of the survival of the species, or in compliance with the requirements of the Endangered Species Act. It's clearly too soon to remove federal protections in light of the continued lack of connectivity, ongoing habitat destruction and modification due to climate change, and record numbers of grizzly bear mortalities in 2025, even under existing protections." The new proposed rules come during the same week that the Trump administration increased its attack on ecosystems by announcing a new rule changing the definition of harm in the Endangered Species Act. The rule change is expected to make it easier for extractive industries to bulldoze habitat. The Moscow-based Friends of the Clearwater issued a statement today which said, "This week, the Trump administration redacted the word harm from the Endangered Species Act definition of take. That has important implications because the legal definition of harm includes damage to a species' native habitat. The Endangered Species Act forbids take of listed species. Shooting a grizzly bear is a take. Take means to harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, capture, or collect, or to attempt to engage in any such conduct. The Endangered Species Act is a groundbreaking piece of legislation. It sets preventing species extinction as the first priority of every agency of the United States government, including the military. It has a 99% success rate at preventing extinction of species. Its controversy is a direct result of its power. This power is what extractive industries oppose in order to access raw materials in their habitats. It is also what some state representatives oppose in order to stake a claim for managing Endangered Species Act listed species." And you're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
Republican U.S. Representative Michael Baumgartner of Eastern Washington has welcomed the renewed U.S. blockade on Iranian oil on the Strait of Hormuz. According to the Spokesman Review, Baumgartner said, "The Strait of Hormuz should not be a strength for Iran. It should be a weakness because their energy supplies are on one side of the strait and the U.S. Navy is well equipped to keep Iranian ships from leaving." Meanwhile, the Spokesman Review reports all 11 candidates challenging Baumgartner in the August 4th primary for his seat say they oppose the war on Iran. Only one of the candidates for the 5th congressional seat from Washington, independent Kyle Ersey, said the U.S. should try to directly destroy Iran's nuclear stockpile and enrichment technology, although the attorney and former college administrator said the war was not the efficient way of doing that. The Spokesman Review queried the candidates on the war, and most of them replied. Here are some excerpts of what they said. Independent Andrew Bartelson of Spokane said the war in Iran was a strategic blunder caused by the easily manipulated egomaniac Donald Trump. Asking what should be done about the enriched uranium is akin to asking how we should cauterize our self-inflicted wound. A decade ago, the world had an agreement that enabled monitoring of Iran's enrichment activities. Unfortunately, Donald Trump unilaterally ended the JCPOA. The world knows Donald Trump cannot be trusted. Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane said, "So far, 13 American military personnel have been killed, 400 wounded, with an estimated direct cost of $1 billion per day for Department of Defense operations. This morning, I heard that regular Americans have paid $50 billion more for gas and diesel since the war started than they would have at pre-war prices. This tally of blood and treasure spent on the war is the tip of the iceberg. It has reinforced many of our allies and trading partners' loss of trust in us. Hardliners in Iran, including the Revolutionary Guard, are even more powerful now than they were before the war." Independent Anne Marie Danimas of Spokane said, "Epic fury has been an epic failure. Trump is completely out of his element, cycling through disjointed strategies, oscillating between diplomatic memorandums, sudden military strikes, and unconventional demands he then drops." Referring to the Memorandum of Understanding, Danimas said, "It has no nuclear pact because he is negotiating from a position of weakness. Make no mistake, we will be the losers in the deal, and it is going to take a different president to close it." Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane said, "The war is illegal and immoral. It is causing a humanitarian crisis in Iran while only driving up costs for American families and farmers. The United States should work to achieve a nuclear deal that allows for independent third-party auditors to access Iranian nuclear facilities, similar to the JCPOA that was already in place before Trump tore it to shreds in 2018. Unfortunately, this war has made Iranian cooperation significantly less likely, alienated our own international allies, and proved that Iran can close the Strait of Hormuz whenever it pleases." Independent Matthew Hayes of Spokane said, "War is absolute hell, and a nation should only attack another nation if first attacked, such as 9/11 when Al-Qaeda terrorists attacked our nation viciously. The U.S. should be engaged in diplomacy to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons, which is what has been done for almost 50 years. Democrat Bajan Mavawala of Valley said, "I do not support this war with Iran because it does not have any clear objectives. Iran does not have a nuclear stockpile. Iran is one of the world's bad actors, and the United States has actually galvanized its regime for many years into the future by this unforced error. As the JCPOA proved, Iran can be negotiated with, but it has to be serious, and there have to be both rewards and consequences for Tehran in order to make it work." Democrat Mike McGarr of Spokane said, It has cost us about $150 billion, depleted our weaponry stockpiles, caused needless rifts with our allies, and the goal has constantly shifted. And after nearly 5 months, we're no closer to any resolution. Republicans have been champing at the bit to go to war with them for decades. So their reasoning is suspect. I still remember John McCain grinning as he sang Bomb, 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 Iran back in 2008. Independent Kyle Osri of Spokane said, I think we should aggressively try to destroy the Iranian stockpiles of nuclear material with as little loss of life as possible. We should rally allied nations to support our effort in eliminating the stockpile and the enrichment method of gas centrifuge technology to create weapons of destruction. We must work with the International Atomic Energy Agency as the world's nuclear watchdog, which also ensures the safe and peaceful use of nuclear technology, and we need to warn nations that supply that technology and any uranium of their complicity in Iran's attempts at creating nuclear weapons. Democrat David Womack of Spokane said, I do not support the war of choice. It has made the world less safe, put our military members at unnecessary risk, added to the national debt, and driven chaos into the international energy market. It has directly driven up prices here in eastern Washington, particularly for our agricultural sector. Congress needs to hold the administration accountable to the Constitution and the War Powers Act. At the Pullman League of Women Voters Forum Monday night, seven candidates for the 5th Congressional District were in attendance, but there was no question about the war in Iran. Candidates did answer a question about removing the four lower Snake River dams. Here's Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake, followed by Bajan Mavawala of Valley, and then we'll hear from Independent Nate Powell of Spokane.
So we actually had an agreement that was in place prior to the Trump administration to address the dam issue that you're talking about. That treaty actually was an agreement between Oregon, Washington, and quasi-Idaho, and also the applicable tribes to work toward a plausible solution. The details of the treaty are a little bit more complicated, but basically it was going to require an alternative solution to address the energy potential losses related to the dams. But it's also important to realize that that would come with a significant economic impact to the transiting of the resources, the trade that goes along the river. So we've got to find solutions to address all of those concerns. I don't believe that solution comes necessarily by one entity dictating it to another one, but it's going to require direct engagement with our tribes, with the states, and with the federal government. Now, the Trump administration cut some of the funds to try to help address that with regards to that plan. I disagree with that. And if I were elected to Congress, we're going to get those funds back. We're going to get it back, and we're going to get that plan back on track to make sure that works.
One barge of wheat is the equivalent of 18 truck and trailer loads of wheat. The cost of transporting that wheat without the river traffic is prohibitive. So we have to be looking at a long-term solution. We have 8 years left on the current agreement that the tribes settled for 2 years ago. So now is the time to be working on those. I've seen some very interesting proposals from guys at the Corps of Engineers about the possible removal of the dams, but I am not sold on anything until I see better studies. If you lower the water table on the river, did you know those rail lines along the river will collapse? It is the hydraulic pressure from the water that is keeping them in place. So you're going to have some additional costs on there, and there is no way for me to answer the rest of that question.
I would not vote to remove the Snake River dams. As we've talked about, they are an important economic transport corridor for us. Moving our product to market would create more CO2 in the atmosphere if we did not use the barges, which are enabled by the dams. There needs to be a reinvestment, an infrastructure reinvestment in those dams to update them. New turbines could help the salmon, but if we are making a decision between being able to barge the economic product of Eastern Washington to the port in Oregon and the salmon, I am not going to kill off the backbone of our economy even though I do love salmon.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
That was independent Nate Powell of Spokane, preceded by Bajan Mavawala of Valley, and we started that clip with Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake. Next, from the Pullman League of Women Voters Candidates Forum, we'll hear from Democrat David Womack of Spokane and Independent Andrew Bartleson, also of Spokane.
So not honoring the treaty is a symptom of a lot of our government problems today. It's a lack of integrity. We made those treaties. We need to figure out a way. Now, I'm also a realist, and I realize that there's a lot of complicating factors. But the plan that Richard talked about, that was a beautiful piece of work. It's called the Simpson Plan, amongst a lot of people. It was led by a Republican from Idaho who put that together, who brought everybody to the table, built a coalition around a long-term plan of these things we need to address. And the Trump administration killed it. I fully support re-implementing that plan if we can get those same people back to the table if we haven't completely broken trust with them.
Thank you. Andrew?
All right. As for the energy issue, it only provides about 4% of the energy needed there in the Tri-Cities, but more importantly, it really only provides energy in the spring or off in the fall, not in the summer or the winter, when you need the power the most and lower the bills. More importantly, yes, we do have a treaty, we honor treaties, we need to be keeping our word. And I know a lot of grain gets hauled on there. It's going to be $5, $10 billion to maintain those dams over the next 30 to 40 years. Put that money to more infrastructure, improve the rail lines, make it possible, work together. You know, this is one of those great opportunities for us as people, even though we have differences or different backgrounds, we can all work together. The tribes, the farmers, everyone. And find a best solution that works for the entire state. We don't need those dams. We can find other sources of energy. We can find other ways to transport the grain. We're all going to be impacted, but it's one of those things where, you know, as people, we just got to come together. We're not always going to get everything we want, but as long as we get a lot of what we need, we should be happy if everybody else is happy as well. It's coming to agreement together and wanting us all to be happy and have the best lives that we can.
That was Andrew Bartleson of Spokane, an independent, preceded by Democrat David Womack of Spokane. The other two candidates to answer the question were Carmela Conroy, a Democrat from Spokane, and Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane.
The federal government is responsible for federal infrastructure that has become vital to the economy here in Eastern Washington. And farmers from Asotin County all the way up to Adams County rely on those barges, both to get agricultural inputs in as well as to get their commodity crops out. And Michael Baumgartner was okay with ending the settlement that helped move forward from a decades-long litigation that had tied up an investment in those dams. Without federal investment, those dams are going to fail. They're going to fail the fish as well as the farmers. So we have got to turn the investment back on and honor our treaty as well as our constitutional duties. And Michael Baumgartner stands in the way of that because he wants to talk about people being woke instead of what we actually need to follow the law, support the farmers, and support the fish.
Thank you. Kevin.
Do I support the removal of the Lower Snake River Dams? Yes, I do. Because I've also read that study that was put together by a Republican from Idaho, Is this mic working? Sorry, hard to hear from you, sorry. So, yes, I do support it. And I think it's very easy. I'd say I don't support any solution that does not significant federal investment in farmers to make sure they don't bear the costs of any dam removal or energy removal as well. But like we said, those dams don't produce significant energy. They're run-of-the-river, and they're only active 20 to 30% of the time anyways. We need to focus on the economic benefits that they bring long-term, because in the absence of these dams being removed, salmon will go extinct on the Lower Snake River. That is a fact. They will go extinct in the wild. And when those salmon go extinct, that loses not only are you violating tribal sovereignty, you're also losing significant opportunity for tourism and investment in the region.
That was Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane, preceded by Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane, speaking at Monday night's Pullman League of Women Voters Candidates Forum for candidates for the 5th Congressional District in Eastern Washington, taking on incumbent Republican Michael Baumgartner.
Oregon farmers are criticizing the Trump administration's repeal of three Biden-era rules aimed at boosting competition and fairness in the meat industry. One 2024 rule barred meat processing facilities from discriminating or retaliating against producers based on race, gender, or co-op membership. Alice Morrison of Friends of Family Farmers warns that limited access to USDA-inspected facilities already stifles independent meat producers, and the rollback will only worsen the bottleneck.
Our farmers are getting 12 to 18 month wait times quoted to them for processing slots. Before you even start the farm, you need to figure out your processing, because if there's no way to bring your product to market, you shouldn't dig yourself into that financial hole of raising those animals.
Morrison explains rescinding the rules will allow processing facilities to favor farmers with corporate contracts over smaller operations. National Chicken Council President Mike Brown called the rules anti-business and said they would lead to higher prices for consumers. Food and Water Watch staff attorney Emily Miller says the rules were put in place in order to counter the effects of what she calls hyper-consolidation in the meat industry. She says currently just four companies control the majority of chicken and pork processing and 85% of beef processing. She adds removing the rules will prioritize corporate interests.
We need robust enforcement of antitrust and fair trade practice laws to finally protect producers from unfair and illegal conduct. And unfortunately, these rollbacks will do just the opposite.
Morrison says one solution is for Oregon to open up more state-operated facilities, but budget shortfalls have limited the state's investment. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Montanans who get their health insurance through the state's health insurance marketplace may see another significant premium spike in 2027. Montana hasn't released its rates yet, but analysts say the 16 states that have are showing 10 to 20% premium increases on average for next year. Louise Norris with healthinsurance.org says that's because of higher health care and drug costs, along with continued enrollment drops after federal subsidies for the Affordable Care Act expired at the end of 2025.
That is continuing to suppress enrollment, basically. The healthiest people have been dropping their coverage, leaving a thicker risk pool.
Norris says that drives up prices for people who continue their coverage. She notes the double-digit increases will mostly affect people above 400% of the poverty rate and don't qualify for subsidies, which is about 13% of enrollees. That's a household income of just under $64,000 for singles or $132,480 for a family of four. She adds many people who continue their coverage in 2026 switch to lower-tier plans with lower premiums, but higher out-of-pocket costs. Another change for Montanans in 2027 is that health insurance provider Pacific Source is leaving the state's marketplace. The company says higher costs and financial strain led to the decision. Norris explains Pacific Source customers will default to a new plan if they don't choose one themselves.
It's in your best interest to actively shop and pick your own plan rather than just letting the algorithm pick a plan for you. So anyone with Pacific Source insurance needs to be planning to go and pick their own replacement plan.
Norris notes that's a good idea for all enrollees because plan prices, out-of-pocket costs, in-network providers, and prescription coverage change every year. Montana will release its rate filings for 2027 this summer. The state will then review them, and prices will be finalized closer to the start of the open enrollment period on November 1st. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection.
That's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, the National Weather Service has a red flag warning in effect for parts of eastern Washington and central Washington. Isolated and scattered thunderstorms through Thursday evening. Isolated thunderstorms across the northern mountains Thursday night. Gusty southerly winds in the Okanagan and Methow valleys on Friday. For tonight, the red flag warning says in central Washington, scattered showers and thunderstorms. In eastern Washington, scattered thunderstorms are expected to develop in the afternoon and track southwest to northeast into the evening. A few storms could be strong during this time with frequent lightning and hail. Gusty outflow winds around 60 miles per hour possible. Affected areas include the Palouse, the foothills of northeastern Washington, the eastern Columbia Basin, and the Spokane area. Isolated thunderstorm coverage early this afternoon, becoming isolated to scattered in the late afternoon and evening, a mix of wet and dry thunderstorms, locally higher rainfall amounts with stronger thunderstorms in the late afternoon and early evening. Erratic outflow wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour in the late afternoon and evening. New fire starts from lightning are possible. New fires could be impacted by gusty outflow winds. A red flag warning means critical fire weather conditions are either occurring now or will shortly. A combination of strong winds, low relative humidity, and warm temperatures can contribute to the extreme fire behavior. There's also a heat advisory in effect until 9 p.m. tonight for the Washington and Idaho Palouse, Spokane Coeur d'Alene areas, Lewiston area, Lewis and southern Nez Perce counties, and lower Garfield and Assotin counties. Forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight tonight, then a slight chance of showers, partly cloudy, low 55. And mostly clear conditions Friday through Sunday, highs 88, low 53. That's it for the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Flashpoints is up next at 7:30, appearing locally. Music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area in the near future. And at 8 o'clock, we'll have Afrosonic Taxi, a syndicated music show. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.